May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 1057. Light of those whose dreary dwelling borders on the shades of death, come, and thy bright beams revealing, dissipate the clouds beneath. The new heavens and earth's creator, in our deepest darkness rise, scattering all the night of nature, pouring day upon our eyes. Hymn 1057.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God in Paul's epistle to the Romans, reading in chapter 4 and also chapter 5. Commencing to read Romans chapter 4, verse 8, really beginning with the same words we began in reading this morning in the psalm. Romans chapter 4, from verse 8 and the following chapter. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessing then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. For he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. For the father of circumcision and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is faith, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not to be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also ye have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love to us, toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it were by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, O great God, Jehovah the living God, we seek now to gain thine ear, Lord, in prayer. We seek access, Lord, to come to thee, O God, who holy art. O Lord, we know, as is sometimes stated, that out of Christ almighty power, and do nothing but devour. So we come pleading the precious name of Jesus, thy dear beloved Son. O God, our Father in heaven, we beg of thee, do accept us in our prayers and praises here this night, as we plead the merits of thy dear beloved Son. O Lord, we beg that we might so be favoured here tonight, to feel thy sacred presence here with us. O that we might know the blessedness of Christ within the doors. And oh, may it be that as is put, Lord, in that theme, all everlasting love displays the choicest of her stores. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, tonight, that we may know what we've been reading. If thou dost so commend thy love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. Oh Lord, how we feel that solemn reality of how we are as sinners, unworthy of the least of thy notice. Unworthy, Lord, we must confess that we have children's bread should taste, and yet, Lord, we come to thee, O God, our Father in heaven, as thy children, we hope. Children of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we are so favoured by grace, we come to thee, seeking food for our souls. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that there might be meat in thy house for thy dear people, food for their souls, here this night. Oh, that there might be those that shall be so blessed to partake by faith of thee, the Paschal Lamb, Lord. Oh, to feed upon thee, to so be blessed to feed and take in, Lord, thy word, as thou dost dispense thy favours, thy holy word being applied. Do apply thy word here this night to some poor sinner who feels their need. May it be that one and another, Lord, shall partake of thee by faith. O Lord, as in that way, as the apostle named it, and we are partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We pray for that favour, Lord, for the strengthening of our little faith, and with hope and love, those graces of the Spirit, so vital for us, Lord, for our being favoured, Lord, in the favour of thy coming into the sanctuary and coming to bless. Oh, do come, Lord, and so be here in our midst to bless. Oh, Lord, that souls may be favoured, Lord, and in this way, of thy working, of thy love and mercy, that thy dear people may rejoice in thee. Thy dear people may so know that wonder of the favour of it personally applied to them, the love of Christ shed abroad in their hearts. Oh, that we might know that power our friend has prayed for, the power in the word of God, the power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, we pray that the word may be in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance here tonight to do thy people good. Lord, do come then, for this we beg. And oh, help each one of us, Lord, thou knowest we are of different ages and deportments and personalities, that we're all sinners, Lord, or if we by thy grace are taught it, we are in a common need. Oh, Lord, we've not got anything, one of us, to boast above another. We're all sinners, sinners in great need of mercy, and plead with thee for mercy. Mercy through blood I make my plea, and God be merciful to me. So as we come before thee, Lord, in our need, We beg of thee, Lord, do look upon us, thy rich mercy, and favour us to be able to look away from ourselves to thyself, thou dear Lord and Saviour, thou dear Redeemer, thou who dost sit at the right hand of the throne of God, thou who dost wait to answer prayer, thou who ever liveth to make intercession for thy people. O Lord, we beg, O we would meditate the grace of our high priest above. His heart is made of tenderness, his bowels melt with love. So favour souls here tonight, Lord. Thou knowest thou hast given a burden to us. Our burden is a burden for souls. As we come before them, Lord, thou knowest we do beg of thee, thou wilt keep us faithful. Oh, make us clear and faithful, and Lord, loving in that way of delivering thy word. Oh, that thy word may truly, blessedly be found here tonight by poor, precious souls who need thee. Oh, they might be able to testify that thy word was found and I did eat. It was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Do them good, Lord. Feed them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. We especially pray for the young people, Lord, who knoweth all regarding them. Oh, Lord, do in thy mercy teach them, bless them in their young days, Lord, as they growing up and going out into life, and some are out into life, and in their callings, Lord, thou knoweth all about their movements, going out and their coming in. And Lord, as they have to do business in this solemn world, Lord, how they need to be kept from the evil, and if they have a tender heart and the fear of the Lord is in them, they will be relying upon thee to keep them from evil. Oh Lord, may they have the grace to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness. Oh, may there be that witness of this in them. One thing is needful. Lord, thou knowest we are concerned for some of ours, Lord, have gone their own way. Now they've headlong urged their mad career. Some, in a very solemn way, Lord, have gone after putting thee on in an open profession. It is a most solemn thing. Oh, that they have fallen away. But, oh, we know thy mighty grace is able to recover them. Oh, if they did know thy grace in early days, if they were truly born of the Spirit, which is brought into great question now, thou knowest, Lord. Oh, things may be said of comments, Lord, that may be sounding all right, but the very reality is, how do they stand? Thou knowest, Lord, thou seest them. And our burden is, Lord, that they might not be left with any counterfeit confidence, Lord, any counterfeit belief. They might not be encouraged in any counterfeit believing. Oh, Lord, do thy solemn work. Convince of sin. Oh, as we have been led to speak this afternoon of the depth of the experience, Lord, of being convinced of sin, convicted and convinced, convinced that we deserve the punishment due to all our sins, which it must be that we deserve to be cast away. Convinced of sin, convict, convince, then lead to Jesus' blood. Oh, it might be so. Witness, Lord, in the church of God that this and that one is born in her. The heart changed, the will renewed, the feet turned, designs held. The true reality of it, Lord, the real change. Oh, that real baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, oh, we beg So work, do appear, Lord. Oh, in these cases, Lord, that are great weights and burdens to us. Oh, thou knowest the great burden of their souls. Oh, that we carry day by day. We bring them unto thee, we cast them upon thee. Lord, hear us, we beg. Oh, in mercy appear. Let thy work appear, Lord, unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Oh, we bless thee, thou dost give thy servants spiritual children. Thou knowest how precious these are to thy dear servants. Oh, we bless thee for spiritual children. Oh, we long for more spiritual children. We long for there to be a given, Lord, to appear, Lord, in Zion, that they are so working and dealing with precious souls, bringing them into the way of grace, dealing with them in mercy, and oh, that in thy time they might know and taste redeeming love. Do work, Lord, among the friends here. Oh, it may be that some older ones are living in a profession of religion which, Lord, oh, we beg, there might be that personal questioning of it, how do I stand? Oh, Lord, do save any from going on, taking things for granted, assuming that they are right and that they are Christians, and they are living a life acceptable in a Christian way. Oh, Lord, if it doesn't possess the real vital grace of God, they are still dead. They are still going on as they were born. Oh, we beg, may we each examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. Prove our own selves as thy word exhorts us. Lord, oh, may grace be in us so to seek, to give diligence to make our calling and election sure, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Our friend has mentioned at tea time, Lord, how there are solemn signs in the earth of the last of the last times, as we may say. We know the last times were even the times of the apostles was the last time, the last dispensation. Oh, the gospel dispensation. But the last times, how they are, more and more appearing in that. There are those things witnessed in the way of things in the world, Lord. The world is becoming filled with violence as it was in the days of Noah. As in the days of Noah, they would say, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Oh, Lord, may we be on our watchtower. May we be, by grace, giving diligence to make our calling and election sure. And as thou hast said, Lord, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. The great day of assizes, the terrible day of judgment, which is before each one of us. Oh, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood. Take my sins away. This is what we each need to be assured of, Lord. We beg thee, do so work and stir us up and give us real earnestness of prayer to beg of thee to prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body. Do prepare us, Lord. Prepare each one of us here in the house of God tonight. Oh, may none, Lord, shrug off these things that we are concerned to set forth in our preaching. Oh, may there be a real receiving and a real exercise stirred up in each one of us, begun in those that are still dead in sin, thy quickening grace appearing in their lives. O, do quicken dead sinners into life. O, may we have the witness of it, those born of the Spirit, that this and that man is born in her, as we read in the psalm. O, we beg, of Zion it shall be said, that this and that man was born there. O Lord, we look for thy appearing. We look for thy appearing here among the friends here at Swavesey, who knoweth her love to them in thy name, and her desire for them, and her exercise for them. Oh, we have known favours here. Thou hast given us privileges here to be here. Privilege it is to come among them, Lord, as poor as we are. Oh, poor, and in ourselves nothing. But, Lord, our treasure is immense in thee. No, we do trust we can say we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, do appear, Lord. May thy work appear here. Oh, thou knowest how we sometimes reflect upon the times of being with our friends here. And we come together for prayer, Lord, and oh, one special occasion of a called prayer meeting we remember attending. Oh, we remember singing Sovereign Ruler of the Skies, ever gracious, ever wise. Oh, we remember those times of exercise and prayer, Lord, and we still wait upon thee. Oh, we wait upon thee, Lord, that there was work. Oh, that there was so go on to do good in thy good pleasure under Zion, in this part of thy Zion, this garden of thy grace. Come down, dear Lord, and blow upon thy garden, that the spices may flow out. May it be noise here. My beloved is gone down, come down into his garden to eat his pleasant fruits. Oh, Lord, what a wonderful time it is when thou dost come down into thy garden to eat thy pleasant fruits. Here we witness this in the little cause at Earthlingborough. We believe it could be said, our beloved, my beloved has gone down into his garden to eat his pleasant fruits. The fruits have appeared, Lord. Thou knowest what there was done. No, here we would know thee and honour thee in praise as our best beloved. Chief among 10,000 altogether lovely. This is my beloved, this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. May there be those that shall thus be as the spouse was, so speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem. The daughters of Jerusalem asking, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? And oh, the response, the testimony, Lord, of souls, thy bride, thy church. Oh, how precious Christ is, altogether lovely, chief among 10,000. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Oh, Lord, do come, do work. Do appear in these ways, here in this cause of truth. Oh, we beg all these things, begging the pardon of every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 103. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. We may not be able to sing these words with assurance. May we sing with the prayer for the assurance. Hymn 103.
Thank you.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the fifth chapter in Paul's epistle to the Romans. Those words, some words which were upon my spirit in the night. The sixth verse, and with the seventh and eighth verses now to bring before you tonight. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We know also in the context of this chapter, friends, is much that bespeaks of justification by faith. The beginning of the chapter, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course is Christ justifying righteousness, which is so much in evidence and important in the favour of God to his people. It's his righteousness that we've been singing of, the royal robe of righteousness. Oh, that holy dress, that heavenly garment, the wedding garment, that wedding garment which is sufficient, wholly, fully sufficient, and for us to be wearing, that we may be called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is God's way. This is God's way, complete and full way of salvation for his people, that they shall be thus brought and taught and blessed and prepared for heaven in this way. Oh, as we have sung, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. Friends, just to bring a few points on that, in my own experience, not that I want to advertise it in a way for some wrong purpose, but when I was under conviction and then favoured and raised to a hope and Christ was made precious, it's so many years ago, over 50 years ago, and you know it was this. Oh, it was, I needed to know that he shed his holy blood for me. When that hymn was given out, I couldn't sing it. Like dear David, your dear deacon has spoken, the solemnity and highness of the language, I couldn't under the solemn teaching of the Spirit I was under. And it may be some of you young people here, or older ones even, if you may be in a place where you just couldn't sing it. It was so solemn. It is so high. You will say you cannot attain to it. God's not given you it yet. And I was there. Oh, as I was then, it was like our friend has said. Oh, I had desire for it. I had longing for it. I had so much need of it to know that Jesus Christ, his blood and righteousness, that was all my hope of salvation in it. Oh, what the Lord Jesus Christ had done, how he had come, and how he'd been revealed to me and raised me to a hope in his mercy. I'd begun to be able to believe in him in hope of salvation in his name. But I hadn't got assurance. I was praying, assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. Bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. And so we went on seeking. And under the ministry of the late J.S. Green, we were so favoured and brought along and led along by God, and God using his servant. And so that we were brought into the wonderful time when we could sing that hymn, when we could feel and know it by assurance. And that is what Oh, it's so precious and important to me to preach that souls who are solemnly taught what they are and where they are, they're all taught sin's demerit and gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. Are you well taught sin's demerit? Do you know you need the Saviour? Do you flee for refuge to lay hold of the hope in the gospel? If God is dealing with you, teaching you, this is what you must do. You need Jesus Christ. You need an interest in his great salvation. You need to know he shed his precious blood for you. You need him. I need him. We need him. We need him. He is so needful, needful in all stations. The pilgrim will say, while in Meshech I reside. Oh, he's so needful. Jesus is so needful. And what is very pointedly solemn, friends, in death, he will most needful be. Yes, he will. But to come to this word, oh, as I said, it came to me so powerfully this morning. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. How wonderful this is. He died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. Wretched, hell-deserving sinners. Even as in the record of Scripture, Mary and Manasseh. Oh, what sinners they were. We've got no stones to throw, no finger to point at them. We're sinners. God will teach his people, solemnly teach them what sinners they are. Conviction is most solemn, but it's most blessed that God does convict. He convinces people of their sin. Sinners that are convicted, convinced of their sin, who can say, Jesus is precious. How precious is the Saviour. He's precious to his people. Those that are really brought to know what sinners they are, how much they will need him, how precious he is made to them. So test your standing here tonight, friends. Turn thine eyes within, you'll see all dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child of God? And how solemn is then the need for you to consider what you are and where you are. Oh, art thou a solemnly taught, guilty, hell-deserving sinner who needs salvation? And the witness of this, of the reality of it, will be in what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? The dear, beloved one, the dear Saviour, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, who come to this earth to suffer, bleed and die, who took the dying traitor's place and suffered in his stead, the Son of God. And so we have it here, Paul, writing in these ways, in the context of high things, and yet in this way, he goes on in this wonderful message, in this letter to the Romans. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for us. When we were without strength. Actually, you see, with all of us here tonight, was before we were born. And of course, too, before we were born again. When we were without strength, Christ died for us. Isn't it a profound, amazing wonder? And you know, Christ died for us. Before we were born, and before, of course, we were born again. So we look back, how it runs in that theme. Is it so precious to you? My soul looks back to see the burdens Christ did bear when hanging on the accursed tree, and hope, sir, guilt was there. Do you feel it? Do you know it? Are you in it? Is this your exercise by the Holy Spirit? You do need to know and be assured of it. Oh, you hope your guilt was there. And hope is a wonderful thing. We have it here. We have it here in the context. How the apostle writes, he says, Not only so, we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. Is it? Is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts? Do we know anything of it? Oh, do we know this favour? Oh, Paul could say so. Paul believed it for some of these Romans. He believed it, he knew it. Do we know it? Do we know this great favour, the love of God, the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. Do we know it, friends? Do you know it? Examine yourselves. May I examine myself, whether we be in the faith? Yes, so important it is. As I've said before to you, more important these things are than anything else in our lives. Each of us have got our things, our way of life, as I now am not so much employed or in business so much, but you know all the things of your business lives and your daily lives, your lawful calling, which God in his providence has given you to have and to follow and to seek to have a useful purpose in life and to prosper you and supply your need in that way of your livelihood. All that is important, but it's not as important, friends, as the need of your never-dying soul, your need of salvation. Because if death come tonight, what you would need is you could take nothing out of this world. We brought nothing in, we can take nothing out. But what will be most important then is, how stands the case? My soul with thee, for heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thine only plea? You want to know. What we need to know is to know and be assured that God has saved us. That he's saved us from sin and death and hell. It's the wonderful salvation of the grace and favour of God to his people. He saves from hell. We bless his name. His people can say it, can testify it. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, he saves from hell, we bless his name. He draws our wandering feet to heaven. Oh, he prepares us for heaven. He deals with us in this life. He gives us to be concerned and to seek him, and to seek him in that way, in earnestness, to be prepared for that great day. Now, is this the great, most important matter of your life, each of you, and mine? Oh, I speak this to young people, I speak it to older ones. I must be faithful. God has so given me. He said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. The alarm of needing to be prepared for eternity. Oh, friends, is this your first concern? Your first concern, your ardent prayer, an interest in the Saviour's blood. Can you say this is so my pardon sign and peace with God? For God, for when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. But scarcely for a righteous man will one die. In peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. And this verse, which is such a verse parallel to the sixth verse in so many ways, but God commendeth his love to us, toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, how God's people will be brought by the grace of God to need to be assured of their standing. They will be brought into exercise for it. God so loves them, he teaches them. He deals with them in mercy, deals with them as sons and daughters. of his holy choice. God chose his people before the world. He chose them unto salvation, chose them for his praise, chose them under means and way of salvation, provided all the means and way of salvation, especially provided in the greatest part of it, the gift of his own dear son, Jesus, to be made to be our all. Can you say, Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone? You may fix my hopes upon. Oh, as I said, that will be the test of our standing, friends. What think ye of Christ? Yes, it will. And so, oh, also, as the dear apostle states here, that God commendeth his love toward us. What a wonderful thing it is. How does God commend his love toward us? In his sovereign dealings with us, his sovereign will, his working out, his sovereign will regarding us. He's working as a sovereign God. We, the subjects, in his kingdom, kingdom of grace, kingdom of God. Oh, God's people, God's church, God's children, God's family. Oh, is it given you to know and believe you're one of God's family? Family which is on earth, whose Father fills the throne. God, what God commendeth. This is God Jehovah, God the living God. God commendeth his love toward us. Yes, how he commendeth him. Commendeth his love toward us in solemnly dealing with us to make us know what we are and where we are. Solemnly teaching us, solemnly affecting us by the power of the Holy Spirit, showing us ourselves, showing us what we are, revealing to us the deep depravities of our heart. God commending his, he commendeth his love to us in that way. You say, well, it doesn't seem like love when I'm under solemn conviction of sin. It is. It's God's love, it's God's loving kindness, God's mercy to you, that he's making you feel the painfulness of your solemn case and your condition. He commendeth his love toward us. He commendeth his love toward us in all the ways of the teaching of the Spirit, because though we do not feel it then, it's as the Lord leads us to this point in our experience when we know we are condemned under the law of God, and we need then to cry to God for mercy. And as we cry to God for mercy, we plead the precious name of Jesus. The way of the Spirit is that God's people who are well and solemnly convicted and convinced of their sin, there is only one way they can plead. It is by pleading mercy, pleading for Jesus' sake. Mercy through blood, I make my plea. God be merciful to me. Pleading in that way. And it's that Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the righteous. Not the righteous. Sinners Jesus came to call. He died for the ungodly. Because everyone is ungodly by nature. But those that are really brought to feel and know what ungodly things they are, as God convicts them of their sin, as he convinces them as sinners before him, they know they're ungodly. They know they've got wicked hearts. And they know they cannot amend their ways to please God. You might try and work. I think dear James mentioned that yesterday. Yeah, we may try to work to, as it were, be different, be better. But now we have to come to the end of all our working and have to know we're unrighteous and we're utterly lost and in need of the Lord to save us. And all we can do and all we must do is to cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Know how wonderful it is that Christ died for the ungodly, and we can plead the precious name of Jesus. Plead for mercy for Jesus' sake. The way of the Spirit is to so teach God's people that they must plead in this way. They must seek salvation in his name, the holy, precious name of Jesus. It's all what he has done. It's all what he is and what he's done for his people, and indeed it also depends upon what he's doing now for them, that they must plead, for he is in heaven, in the court of heaven. He is there as the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Friends, God commendeth his love toward us. Oh, how this is one of those buts, isn't it? It's one of those buts. The theme runs, doesn't it? For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, you feel so much the need of an interest in the life and death of Christ, an interest in his great salvation. God so teaches his people, it's they need an interest in the Saviour's blood, their pardon sign, and peace with God. God's teaching us, friends, it will not be that we will want to rest short. It will be too solemn. We need to know and be assured that we do have an interest in the Saviour's blood, that he came and shed his blood for me. How great is this, how wondrous is this, that the Son of God, the co-equal, co-eternal Son of God, should so come, given of the Father. His Father, oh, gave his only begotten Son, God our Father, we hope we can say, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, friends, is it so with you tonight? Can you say, can you embrace it? Can you lay hold of it by faith? Does God so give you, by his inward working, by the Spirit, to be in faith tonight? And God commendeth, but God commendeth. Oh, the state of our sinning, our sinnership, our fallen nature, the treachery of our wicked hearts, our proneness to wander. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, everything done by God to save his people. Oh, Christ died for us. He came, he gave his own life a ransom for us. Oh, wonder of wonders, isn't it? The wonders of grace to God belong. Wonders of redeeming love. Christ died for us. You know, here the apostle, he is expressing this in this letter to the Romans, and with some sweet confidence of faith. But of course, every one of God's people need it personally applied to them. Oh, that they might be able to say, like we had, blessedly I felt him this morning as we closed, Jesus died for me. This is what you need, friends, and what I need. This is what we want sealed to us. Oh, that we might be able to say, as the hymn writer put it, as we sung in concluding this morning, we might be able to say without presumption, Jesus died for me. Oh, how can this be? It's the Holy Spirit testifying of Christ, sealing that wonderful redemption to his people, blessing them to know and believe in Christ, to lay hold of the hope in the gospel, Oh, to see him by faith, Lord, on the cross of Calvary, to see him there suffering in our ruined place instead. Oh, that we might be able to say, without presumption, but in real humble testimony, Jesus died for me. Oh, but God commendeth his love toward us. Oh, his love toward us. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners. Think of us as those called by grace, God the Father took in hand. We are adopted children, the only begotten co-equal, co-eternal Son of God gave his own life a ransom for us. Oh, how amazing this is, love so amazing, so divine. Demands my life, my power, my all. Felt that so many times. Oh, God so demands us. He demands a song from thee, his loving kindness, O every. But oh, tonight, friends, may the dear Spirit seal this to some souls here tonight, that you may truly be able sincerely to testify Jesus died for you. God commendeth his love toward us. He commendeth his love, friends, I believe, by the work and operation of the Holy Spirit in his people. And this is how they are favoured to receive these favours, to be so given to know and feel assurance that Jesus died for me. God commendeth his love. The way he commendeth his love to his people is by those things written in the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God, the record of Scripture, the life and death, the sufferings, the death and resurrection of Christ, and the ascension into glory, and that he lives no more to die, lives the Lord enthroned on high. God commendeth, the dear Holy Spirit commendeth the things, all that relates to, and how the Son of God so freely offered himself without spot to God to save his people, God's people, from their sin. I believe it's the Holy Spirit who commendeth God's love to us. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit that will come and shed abroad the Saviour's love. We pray for it. Shed abroad the Saviour's love in these cold hearts of ours. Oh, God commendeth. Now, can you give witness to this? That in your experience, you experience this, that God commendeth his love toward you. Do you know? Have you tasted God's love? Have you felt the power, the love of God, the love of Christ? God does. He does do it, friends. Are you inside the secret of it? Has God given you the favour, the experience of it? For God, this is testified here by the apostle. He speaks the truth, the blessed truth as it is in Jesus, and relating to these souls that God blesses and favours. For God commendeth his love toward us. He does it, friends. There's such a reality in it. God does it. He commendeth his love toward us. It can be said he commendeth it, his love toward us, in that we should be made and will be made by grace seekers after his love, and to know and taste the Saviour's love. He commendeth his love toward us. But he commendeth his love toward us in the way he does, by the Holy Spirit shed abroad his love in our hearts. God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, oh, he died for us. He suffered, bled and died. He paid the price for sin, shed his holy blood. As he died, he was pouring out his holy blood for the redemption of the church. We read here further on, we read, and Paul could say, he could acknowledge it, we have received the atonement. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And oh, in his dying, sometimes we sing of it, he dying vanquished death. He gained the victory over death, sin and death and hell. By his glorious resurrection or the grave. Yes, Christ died and rose again. Christ died for us. But particularly tonight, I feel we should be considering, oh, his sacrifice of himself. He's paying that great utmost price, shed in his holy blood. The price of our redemption, friends, is the blood of Christ. How he so freely shed his blood to pay the price for sin. The Lord demanded blood for blood. How to let his vital flood to pay our mortal debt. Yes, oh God commendeth his love toward us. Oh, what love, what great love. We cannot estimate the greatness of his love, the greatness, the love of God, the love of Christ. God commendeth his love toward us. But we should remember, it's the love of God Jehovah. Yes, of course, the love of Christ. God commendeth his love toward us. And it will be good in exercise if you're brought into this, into meditation of this. You know, God's sacrifice for sin was the sacrifice God Jehovah made. Think of the great cost to God the Father to give his dear Son to come to this earth and suffer, bleed and die. And think of it in the way of God's purpose and way of salvation. God the Father knew from all eternity that the time would come on earth when he would punish his own dear Son for the sins of all his people. Oh, the great cost of salvation, the unspeakable gift of God the Father, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, God commendeth his love toward us in those ways to be by the Spirit's leading considered the wonders of God's grace, the wonders of redeeming love, that God so commendeth his love toward us. Do consider, to meditate upon as we consider this morning. Oh, to be led in exercise, to think upon Christ, to ponder these things of the wonders of redeeming love. The dear Spirit exercising God's people, that they are brought in amazement and wonder at the great wonders of God's love. Oh, God commendeth for most solemn yet blessed consideration that he will by the Spirit exercise his people in, that they consider Christ, consider him. If you are tempted by the devil, if you are tossed with tempest and not comforted, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Oh, so much to consider. And I believe where God so speaks in this way, as he does in his word here, but God commendeth his love, it's for much consideration and meditation and exercise for those who hope in his mercy, those who hope in Jesus Christ, those who know Jesus Christ as their only hope, their only Saviour. God commendeth his love toward us, for us to ponder it, to solemnly consider it in the wonders of redeeming love. Why did Jesus show to me the beauties of his face? Oh, why was I made to hear his voice and enter while there's room? Oh, thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. You know the answer that follows there. It was that same love that sped the feast and sweetly forced us in. Wonder, wonders, isn't it? Oh, it is. God commendeth his love toward us. The love of Christ constraineth us. God's love constrains. He commendeth his love toward us for our considering it, our meditation upon it, that we may be lost in wonder, love and praise and in exercise of love to God in return. The power of the love of God may affect us, to cause us to make returns of love again to God. But God commendeth his love toward us. You see, I believe here that what was so much in the apostles' exercise was that God's people should be affected under the power of God, the power of the love of God, and that they might be so caused to love God in return, to make returns of love again. He commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, in the following context, and especially in the following chapter, there are those things which relate to the conduct of the child of God, how they must live, how they will be by grace so led to live, living upon the merits of the Saviour. And so in that way of living and showing forth his praise, it is very important, friends. And if we are really favoured to know and taste the love of Christ and know and taste redeeming love, we will love God, we'll love God, we'll love Christ in return. You say humbly, we love him because he first loved us, like John. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So, oh, tonight my heart's desire is that God would so commend his love toward dear souls here, and to so humble us. We may be melted in gratitude to God. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, gave his life for us, died for us, shed his blood for us. Oh, he suffered under death, even the death of the cross, bore the curse for us, suffered in our stead. Oh, for man, a miracle of grace for man. The Saviour bled. The Son of God, the Saviour bled, shed his blood. And oh, his blood, the blood of Christ, shed at Calvary, speaks perfect peace. Perfect peace to the child of God. Oh, so much of your trouble and mine is the conflict we have over the battle of our very heart and soul with the old nature so prone to lead us astray, the mighty enemies without and more mighty within, world and flesh and devil. Oh, how there is so much conflict, so much to is so hard and so great in our conflict and trouble, the troubles of our heart and life. And how wonderful. And God commends his love toward us. That while we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. And that he so shed his blood, put away our sins, blot them out forever. Oh, to so atone for them, and that in that way, from and by the cross of Christ, all what he suffered there, he has procured our peace. Oh, if God grant it, you are blessed to know the pardon of your sins. I believe every soul who knows the pardon of their sins will know the blessed inflowing of sacred peace into their troubled breast. Oh, when they are completely blessed, when their souls are satisfied, with the blessing of the Lord. Oh, the favour of it, friends, the love of God, so blessedly known, the love of Christ shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. It will be with thee, blessed application of the atonement, the blood of Christ, applied to our hearts and consciences. And in this way, that sacred holy peace will flow in. If I know anything of it, this is what we experienced. This is what God favours his people with. They are favoured as they have the application by faith of the precious blood of Christ. Yes, oh, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there you see, the apostle goes on, much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Here's the holy word, the blessed favour, the secret of it here in this following verse, what we sung in the opening hymn, what we sung in the hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. What we sung in that hymn, it's here in this verse, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Yes, and the peace that flows in to a soul justified by the blood of Christ. Oh, how sacred it is. How blessed it is. May we each know it, friends. May the dear Holy Spirit seal it to us. Oh, may we know and taste redeeming love in such a way that we're blessed to know and believe and feel that assurance that the Lord died, that Jesus died for me. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £775, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Pack will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And the collections today are for the Trinitarian Bible Society poster campaign for the local area. Let us close with hymn 788. Come ye humble sinner train, souls for whom the Lamb was slain. Cheerful let us raise our voice, we have reason to rejoice. Let us sing with saints in heaven, life restored and sin forgiven. Glory and eternal Lord be to our incarnate God. Hymn 788.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything thou hast seen amiss this day. Bless thine own word, Lord, bless thy people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.